This is Real Relationships on JewishCoffeeHouse.com. I'm Mickey Lavin-Pell, marriage therapist and relationship coach.
And I'm Molly Livingstone, the comedian and devil's advocate. And if you have questions, concerns, comments, want to be part of the show, write us at realrelationships@jewishcoffeehouse.com. Today's episode, we're talking about
vulnerability in dating.
Dun, dun, dun. Okay, so?
So this week I got an email from a listener who said that they wanted to know when one should become vulnerable when they're dating. And his story is like this. He met somebody in university. He knew her for a little while. Then he asked her out and they started dating and they've been on 3 dates now. And he said to me, you know, he doesn't really know when he should start to really open up more and get a little deeper and really see whether this is going to go somewhere. Now, it's a really interesting question, this whole vulnerability thing and when one should become vulnerable, because there's a big difference between when you meet someone on, let's say, a dating site or in a bar or in shul at a kiddush or something like that versus meeting someone in real life. And the interesting thing is that when you meet someone in real life, you actually have developed some sort of relationship already. Mm. You're already kind of like closer with the person. There's already some of the vulnerability would have probably happened without you even knowing it. And obviously, all of a sudden, you're dating and you're meeting this person. You're sitting across from them at a cafe or something like that. Things kind of unfold a little bit more slowly. There's more stages and things like that. So it's really hard to know exactly when you should become vulnerable and when you shouldn't become vulnerable. When it comes to the whole thing.
And when you're friends that turn into something more, it's almost comforting and terrifying at the same time because they know you in a different way.
Right.
But you still have to give in.
Right.
I think what's really interesting is the Hebrew word for vulnerable also has the root of pain, as though people automatically associate, once I have to be vulnerable, it's going to be painful.
What's that word?
Pagia.
Oh, right.
I think. I'm pretty sure.
You mentioned that.
But so it's very interesting because I think vulnerability gets a bad rap. I am not afraid to be vulnerable, but I think a lot of people are.
Yeah.
And vulnerability.
Well, you're in your face with the whole vulnerability.
I'm like
that's
out
you.
There. I'm like, yeah. I'm
you're like
too
tell
honest.
Me why I don't like me. Tell me why I don't like me.
Yeah.
I'm
which
like,
is great.
Really?
Yeah. I wish they could have seen the face you
really
made me
know.
Have. No, but so I think that people associate it with pain.
Yeah.
They associate it with also, then it means we're in a serious relationship. So when do you become vulnerable?
So I think it's the sort of thing that's not, it's unfortunately so unscientific. And it's the sort of thing that you really have to feel in your gut. And it's the sort of thing where you kind of feel like you're at the edge of that pain, where you feel like if you don't start to become vulnerable, this whole relationship will completely go downhill. Mm. In other words, like you feel like you've kind of opened up and you've been dating for a while or you've been meeting each other for a while and it's kind of got to go up or down. Mm-hmm. I think that's really the point at which you need to start to sort of go a little bit deeper, because otherwise you're going to be dead in the water. If you're going to just keep on talking about your siblings and all these surface things, it's just going to get really dull and boring and you're not going to actually feel like you really know this person. And furthermore, you're not going to really know whether the person that you're with really has all the things that you need to be in a significant relationship with them, and then it's really pointless.
So let's talk about blocks
of
vulnerability. What blocks you from being vulnerable?
The first thing that blocks people from being vulnerable is the fact that they probably tried it at one point in their lives and it really hurt them. For some people, it would be as early as birth.
What?
Yeah, I know.
What
it sounds crazy.
Mean?
Right. It's like they cried as a little kid and their mom said, "Oh, Billy, really? Are you crying just because you scraped your knee? Come on, put a Band-Aid on. Show me that soldier, you know, show me that good soldier, that good, strong, courageous soldier." And that's where, like, little boys and even little girls sometimes learn that they should just, you know, have that stiff upper lip and soldier on and just get over things and not cry and not show their softer side of themselves. Whereas for people who maybe had a more supportive parent who said, you know, "Oh, it's okay. Oh, sweetie. Oh, you know, you're having a hard day. Or was that difficult for you? Or did you have a fight with your friend? Oh, come tell mommy all about it." That child will know that it's a safe thing to be able to be vulnerable and to show who you really are. That's the main distinction between the people who are and who aren't
who are
able
blocked
to be.
And unblocked. I think there's a lot of people who have been hurt by love. And have, just like you said, they did the relationship. It got really serious. They opened up and they were crushed at the end of it. And they refused to go there again.
Yeah.
But then how do you ever get, like, then?
Yeah.
But then you also want to be in love. So
Yeah, it's interesting. I remember there was this guy who used to flirt with me a lot, and I thought he really liked me. But he never asked me out. I didn't understand why. And I actually told him, like, and we were friends and stuff like that, and I kind of asked him out, and he said no. And I was crushed. I was absolutely crushed. And I thought, oh, I'm never going to let myself love again, and we're never going to, you know. But then I licked my wounds, and I said, you know, that's him. This is me. I want to be in love. I want to have a relationship. I want to get married. I want to have kids. And I really kept my eye on the goal of this is what I really want. And that was really, and I think probably my strength from having, you know, a pretty strong, significant relationship with my parents and other people and having supportive friends and having been vulnerable in other instances that were positive for me enabled me to get past that. But some people just have that negative message again and again. Being vulnerable doesn't pay off. Being vulnerable is going to be something that's going to cause you to lose. And people have that message enough times in their lives and they aren't going to take that risk at some point. So I guess for people who are in that situation, who really feel like being vulnerable has not paid off for them and they want to be in a relationship, they really need to take a strong look at this in a very deep way. And I'll just say, I know vulnerability hasn't worked for me, so I'm just going to completely shut that off and I'm just not going to be in a relationship. They need to say to themselves, what do you really want? Do you really want to be in a relationship? Do you really want to create a family with somebody else, not just yourself? And really do the hard work.
Maybe I would also add that you have friendships. I find my friends are soulmates in a lot of different ways. And so those people that are my friends, why am I vulnerable with some and other people stay acquaintances? And then you're asking yourself, rather than depending on the other person, what makes me okay with being vulnerable? What makes me tell a friend a secret, tell them about experience, tell them about my worries or concerns, like beyond surface level things? And there's some people that you just know you have a chemistry with that it's easier to talk to. And then you're just vulnerable. You're just like there with a person.
Yeah.
So how are some ways of like tricks of the trade, Mickey, of getting to this vulnerable place in a delicate manner?
I guess it's just like what you said. I mean, it's knowing that with some friends, it's just so damn easy. And you just don't even have to do anything to really think about it, to really do it, to do the work. And with other people, it's that much harder. And also, there was a New York Times article that...
Oh, yeah, you were talking about this. Talk about the questions. 36 questions.
Yes, it's an article that was in New York Times last January. And basically, there are 36 questions that a person should ask to see whether they can go deeper with their partner. And they're questions that actually help you to open up. So some of the questions are things like, what would constitute a perfect day for you? Or when did you last sing to yourself or to someone else? Now, they might seem like pretty surface level questions, but because they are so simple, you could look at them in a lot of different ways. And the way that the person answers the question, like if a person just gives you this very surface answer, like I sang to myself yesterday, I sang to someone else last week, well, that's something that's going to be a little bit harder to really get into. But if someone says, let me think about this. I sing to myself every time I'm in the shower. I always sing the Beatles because I'm a huge Beatles fan.
Yeah, and then it gives you something to talk about.
And then it's like, oh, right. Oh, you're also a Beatles fan.
And then you find out why you like the Beatles and who's your favorite. It does. They're good questions because I think sometimes people come to the table, quite literally, and they're like, I don't know what to ask you. Have I been on this date before? You know, it's very similar. So I think that some of the questions that I'm like, I'm looking at this, you should totally have this as a cheat sheet. And I would say, not just for first dates and not just for going vulnerable, but these are fun even with a spouse if you're married long term because there's some of the questions that I've never asked my husband, like when he's singing,
I hear
him, I ask him to stop, but I've never asked the why part of that.
I remember when I was engaged to my husband and we were at my family's house in the country, and my husband was in the shower right before Shabbos and he was singing in the shower. My mom heard him and she said, oh, he's such a joyful guy. He's singing in the shower. And I didn't know that about him because I didn't know. And it was just such a interesting thing to learn about somebody once I was already engaged.
Yeah, that's really funny.
But there's some interesting questions here, like for what in your life do you feel most grateful? You know, that's something that it's a really important thing to think about because gratitude is a huge important part of being in relationships. And take 4 minutes and tell your partner your life story in as much detail as possible. Now, that's obviously a much more vulnerable question.
Save that for like different, day 12.
or date 8 if you're really willing to take, you know, to go out on a limb. But I think you really need to know yourself when it comes to being vulnerable. And you need to really know how much you're willing to take, how much you really need the other person to really open up. And it's also about understanding your depth and your shallowness, right? How deep and how shallow you want to be in your relationship. That's a really, really important thing. That's for another podcast entirely. But I thought I'd just bring that up as a point.
If you want to have feedback, comments, questions, concerns, talk to us, have this conversation, you can write us at realrelationships@jewishcoffeehouse.com. This has been Molly Livingstone
and Mickey Lavin-Pell
for another episode of Real Relationships.